You're listening to eDurs.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا كنتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace, greetings be upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, insha'Allah ta'ala, tonight we will explore the virtues, the merits of doing wudu, and most importantly some of the masail rulings and the methodology and understanding the correct manner of doing wudu, which is very, very important. Wudu is an Arabic word. In English, the translation for wudu is ablution. Wudu and ablution. Ablution or wudu is a precondition, a requirement for the validity and for the acceptance of Salah. And so this tells you the position, the status in Sharia that Allah has given to this action, this amal of wudu. That your Salah is not valid until a person is in that state of wudu. And wudu means ahsan al-wudu, perfect wuzu, which is very, very important. What we need to understand in the beginning is that the ulama have divided purity or purification into two categories. One is what we call at-taharatu sugra, and the second is what we call at-taharatu al-kubra. At-taharatu sugra means minor purification or minor purity, which is wudu, the amal of wudu. That when a person has nullified his wudu, that he should go back to do his wudu. That is called minor purification. And at-taharatu al-kubra, that is major purification. And major purification means your ritual bath or your ritual bathing, or in fact even your bathing after your marital intimacy. So that's ghusl for you, major purification. Now when you look at the Quran and the ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, generally what you will find is that wudu is mentioned first, then ghusl. Wudu is mentioned first, then ghusl. And if you open the pages of a hadith, you'll find a lot of a hadith that talk about wudu in comparison to ghusl. That is also something very important. The scholars have given us an explanation for this. The scholars have said that this is the tartib or the pattern of the Quran. That in the Quran, wudu is mentioned first and then ghusl. Wudu is mentioned first and then ghusl. And so following the line of the Quran, the pattern of the Quran, you will find that even in ahadith, in books of fiqh, wudu is mentioned first and then comes ghusl. Secondly, the ruling pertaining to wudu were revealed in the city of Makkah Mukarramah. And the masail, the ruling of ghusl, were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Medina Munawwara. And so the masail of ghusl is post-migration. And Allah's Nabi was in Makkah Mukarramah all the time in the beginning. And therefore, wudu is mentioned first and then comes ghusl. Scholars have also mentioned that generally it is wudu that a person would engage in frequently. He needs to do wudu much more than his ghusl. Maybe in 3 days, 4 days, you might need to do ghusl. But as for wudu, it might be something that you might need to do 4 times a day, 5 times a day. Gas problem, hota 5 times a day. And so wudu is something that a person would do much more frequently, more often than ghusl. And therefore the masail of wudu are more important. The scholars have even mentioned that your ghusl is actually incomplete in the sunnah manner if wudu is not part of your ghusl. And therefore, what is the use of ghusl being first to be explained if you don't know wudu? And so the sunnah manner of ghusl is that you do wudu first and then the etiquettes, the masail of ghusl will apply. And therefore, these are just a few examples what the scholars have mentioned. Why you will find that wudu has been mentioned first in the Quran, in the ahadith, in the books of fiqh. Now, what we also need to understand is that the legislation of wudu can be found both in the Quran and also in the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The legislation of wudu is in the Quran and also in the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we understand the maqam, the status that Sharia has given to wudu. Suratul Maida, which is the 5th chapter of the Quran. In Suratul Maida, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the obligatory washing in wudu. The main body parts that need to be washed in wudu. Without it, your wudu would be incomplete. And therefore, reference to wudu is in Suratul Maida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, Iza kumtum ilas salah, when you stand for your salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wash your faces. فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Wash your faces, which is the first farz in your wudu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and wash your hands to your elbow. Wash your hands to your elbow. That is the second farz. Now if you look at the words of the Quran, the word yadun, yad in the Arabic language means your hands. Yad means your hands. So yad is from here until here. This is your yad in the Arabic language, yadun. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say wash your yad, wash your hands. There could have been this confusion that washing your hands to which point, which is the cutting point, how much of the coverage of the hands should be washed. Is it till here, is it till here, is it till here? And so specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wash your hands from your yad until your marafiq, and marafiq is your elbow here. And so the fuqaha have mentioned that this part is also included in your washing. Your marafiq is this. This is also included in your washing. This is the farz of wuzu that we are talking about. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the third farz of wudu. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe your heads. Wipe your heads. رُؤُوس means رَأْسٌ جَمَى رُؤُوس, your heads. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say wipe your hair. Wipe your hair. The reason for that is somebody could be suffering, maybe a disease, that there is no hair on the scalp. There is no hair on the scalp. So if you've got no hair, what is the masah? If Allah had said, do masah of the hair, and if somebody hasn't got hair, he'll say, haji chutti. For me, there's only three farais. No. Everybody's got a head. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, forget your hair, it's your head, you have to do masah here. So, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. And then the fourth farz that is mentioned, وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and wash your feet to your ankles. Wash your feet to your ankles. And so the scholars have mentioned that the ankles are also included in the washing. So these are the four fara'is that are mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah that a person needs to wash in his wudu. Without the washing, your wudu is incomplete. Now, also in the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wudu has been mentioned. In the Sahih of Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى توضأ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the salah of any one of you, إذا أحدث, when he nullifies his wudu, when he nullifies his wudu, حتى توضأ, until he renews his wudu, until he does his wudu again. And so these are just two examples. There are many ahadith that the legislation of wudu, it is something that is mandatory. It is mentioned in the Quran, and it is also mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now generally, my respected brothers, if you look at the pattern of the ahadith, before every ruling or masail, the scholars have a habit of first explaining the virtue of that action. The virtue of that action. If I was to tell you that respect your mother and father, do this, do that, do this, do that, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, but I've not explained to you the honor that Sharia has given to mother and father, that child will not value parents like how he should. He will only value parents because of the virtue that Sharia will put in front of him. Kabayal jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat, that Jannah lies under the feet of your mother. And Allah's Nabi has said that if you want to know if Allah is happy, go and ask your father, is he happy? If he is happy, then Allah is also happy. So the virtues actually assist an individual, help an individual in making sure that what I am about to do, I understand everything in its entirety. So he values an action. It's not about forcing somebody. You can't just go stand in front of the sink and jaldi jaldi do wudu. Bhai, understand what wudu is. What is wudu? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned one hadith which is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. But before we go on to this subject, maybe as an introduction, so that we can understand this hadith which is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, billions and billions of people will be standing in front of you. All the prophets will be there. Billions of people, all of humanity will be there in front of you. How will you recognize us? This was the fikr the companions had. How will you find us? How will you know? Okay, you've seen your companions, but what about the followers that were not in your time, in your era? How will you recognize them? How will you know that this man is not the follower of Ibrahim alayhi salam, or Nuh alayhi salam, or Musa alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam, and that he belongs to me as in my follower? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and said to him, Ghurram muhajjaleen. A few words. That I will recognize my followers by ghurram muhajjaleen. Now, what is ghurram muhajjaleen? Let us go back to the hadith which is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that inna ummati yud'auna يوم القيامة غرّم محجلين من آثار الوضوء. That on the day of Qiyamah, my followers will be given a name. They will be given a name. And that name is غرّم محجلين. And this name is given to them because of the effects of wudu, because of the traces of wudu, because of the effects of wudu. This title, this honor is given to them, that on the day of Qiyamah, my ummah will be called Ghurram Muhajjaleen. Now, what is Ghur and what is Muhajjaleen? The word Ghur is the plural in the Arabic language of Aghar. Is the plural of the word Aghar. And Ghur means that animal, and specifically the horse. You see, the Arabs were people who were fond of animals, especially camels and horses. For them, camels and horses was everything. They loved camels and horses. And in fact, they would even name them. They would give names to their camels and horses. And they would tell you that this is my horse, the name is this, the father's name was this, the grandfather's name was this, and his father's name was this, and the entire lineage by father, father, father of the animals, they would know that. They were incredible individuals, horses and camels. And the most precious horse, most expensive horse to them, was that horse that is black with a marking of white on the forehead, on the face. And so ghur means that animal, that horse, which has got a marking on the face, which is completely white. And you see, horses are beautiful. Subhanallah. Some horses are really beautiful. And it has a white mark, just a white mark, where the eyes are on top. Very beautiful animals. So that's the word ghur. Muhajjalin, in the Arabic language, comes from the word tahjil. Tahjil. And tahjil means that horse which has got four white markings on its legs, in each of the legs, like a white band. Like a white band. So it's got a white face and it's got white band on each of its legs, or at least three of its legs. Muhajjil means four or at least three. And that horse was the most precious commodity for the Arabs. They would treasure this horse. This was a special breed for them. Very few amongst the Arabs would own such a horse. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke in the language they knew, something that was more beloved to them. And so Allah's Nabi said that on the day of Qiyamah, my followers will also be ghurram muhajjalin. And it means that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately when a person comes out from his qabr, immediately, when he comes out from his qabr, being the follower of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which would mean that he would have been doing wudu all the time, and because of the athar, the traces of wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up a light, a nur on his face. And there will be this nur that will be flashing all the time. And there will be nur to the lower section of his body. And these individuals will stand out from the billions of people there. And they will be shocked. Why, look at this individual. What kind of a human being is he? But yajib koi insaan hai. You know, today we see someone who's got a nurani face and say, MashaAllah, you know, what a man. But every man will become nurani on the day of Qiyamah. And this is the barakat of wudu. The barakat of wudu. That the face will be shining. Allah's Nabi is saying it will be ghur, as in nur will pop out. There will be nur emanating from his face. And there will be nur to the lower section of the body. And when he walks, there will be admiration for that individual. And people will say, you know who that man is, don't you? He is ghurram muhajjalin. He is ghurram muhajjalin. They will say, ghurram muhajjalin. This person is ghurram muhajjalin. As in, he is the follower of that great Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. And so every time we do wudu, understand the verse and the merit and the virtue of what we are doing. Take time out and do wudu properly. And that is why in the very same hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that فَمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَن يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. And whosoever amongst you can extend his shine, his nur, let him do that. Let him do that. Now, because of that, some of the fuqaha have mentioned that the limit in washing your body parts, take example your hands, is to your elbow. But because of the hadith, Allah's Nabi has said that if you can increase it, it is better for you. And so if somebody washes until here, by fatwa mat dena, don't give a fatwa, this is what Maulana is coming up with. No, I'm just saying, some fuqaha have given permission. that if you can increase and slightly wash till here perhaps, that would mean that your nur will be greater. Your nur will be greater. Slightly on top, your nur will be greater. And in fact, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, once somebody had seen him do wuzu and he was washing till here properly. Oh, bhai, don't start doing this, otherwise people will think that you're doing ghusl in the wudu khana. And it will all fall back to the imam. It will all go back to the imam. And so he was doing it alone, he had the time. And so when one sahabi came in and he said, but in Surah Ma'idah, Allah has said this, you know, to your elbows, and what is this? He said, I'm not doing it publicly. In my privacy, I'm doing this. And he says, I'm only doing it so that on the day of Qiyamah, I am full of nur. Abu Huraira, radiyallahu ta'ala, and he's saying, so on the day of Qiyamah, I am full of nur. And that is the time you will need nur, my respected brothers and elders. And so imagine the connection of wudu goes to the nur on the day of Qiyamah. That is how important wudu is. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah give us the tawfiq and our youth that are sitting here, that when we do wudu, we understand the method, the ruling, the masail, the virtue of wudu. Another hadith which is in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, tablughu al-hilyatu min al-mu'min haythu yablughu al-wudu. And this is in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned the word hilya. And hilya in the Arabic language means adornment. Or hilya can also mean jewelry. It can mean jewelry. Nowadays what happens is that when we talk about jewelry, immediately it's the women at home that get excited. Jewelry. And of course the reason for that is that in this dunya, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that gold and silk is haram for the men folks of my ummah. Gold and silk is haram for the men folks of my ummah. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith, he is referring to the people of Iman, his followers, when they enter into paradise in Jannah, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that jewelry and adornment, beautification will be given to them, and that beauty will reach that part of the body in which when they performed wudu, the water covered. So every area that in wudu, that the water covered, that entire zone, that entire section of the body on the day of Qiyamah will be beautified, and jewelry of Jannah will be given to him to be worn in that area. And so in Jannah, when people go to Jannah, subhanallah, today one can't imagine for a person to wear gold bangles, you know, although you'll find some people wearing bangles, but generally gold bangles and jewelry or whatever on the neck. In Jannah, the fashion for the people of Jannah will be very different. The fashion set for the people of Jannah will be different. The mindset of the people of Jannah will be different. Here in dunya, you have to go and buy gold necklace, jewelry for the women. There, alhamdulillah, the men folks will have an opportunity to wear gold, diamonds, silver, rubies and emeralds, and Allah knows all the precious stones. And the hands will be covered and the neck will be covered, and mashallah, falah person is here, beautiful clothes and All jewelry, adornment, beautification, walking like the kings of the past. Walking like the kings of the past. That is how he will be in Jannah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam again has mentioned that this is the barakat of wudu. And so what we need to do, my respected brothers and elders, in a way in the hadith, it's also telling us that inshallah the one who does good, perfect wudu, he will enter in Jannah. This is something which is very, very important. A third hadith, which is again mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, a very important hadith. We need to understand that wudu is not just related to physical purification. It's not just about cleansing the physical side, but it is very much related to spiritual purification also, spirituality. And there is one hadith which is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. And Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an says that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, Man tawadza'a fa'ahsan al-wudu. Man tawadza'a fa'ahsan al-wudu. The one who does wudu and does beautiful wudu. And does perfect wudu. Ahsan means something that is beautiful. Ahsan can also mean something that is perfect. So someone who does wudu and does beautiful wudu, perfect wudu, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, kharajat khatayahu min jasadihi. Kharajat khatayahu min jasadihi. When he does a perfect wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the sins from his body. So when he does wudu, Allah also removes the sins. So much so that in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam it is mentioned, حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ مِن تَحْتِ أَظْفَارِهِ, that the sins also come out from beneath, underneath the nails. Why are the nails mentioned? Generally, if there's impurity on the skin, napaki on the skin, by washing it, it's easy. But at times, if you have long nails, and there's impurity in the nail, it's very difficult to actually just remove it. The only way is to cut your nails. And so what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, that your sins will also come out from beneath the nails. That is why in another narration, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ أَجِيبٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your sins. Now okay, the scholars have mentioned here that this refers to minor sins, but some of the scholars have also mentioned what is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive also your major sins. Is there any difficulty? A man who does wudu with the intention that my Allah is very merciful, and he will wash away all my sins. In fact, in another hadith, specifically that is mentioned, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, that when you do wudu and wash your face, the sins that your eyes have contemplated to do, that your eyes want to do, and if they commit the sins, Allah's Nabi is saying that when you wash your face, the sins of the eyes are also washed away. Subhanallah. Imagine, we don't even realize, but by doing wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cleansing us. We are spiritually being cleansed, physically and spiritually. And the sins that you have committed with your hands, Allah also effaces them. The sins that you have committed with your legs, as in going towards guna, something that is sinful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forgives you for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers and elders. But perhaps most importantly, and can I have your attention, most importantly, and this is something that one should never fail to do. And if we fail to do, really, we are bad naseeb, great failures, if we fail to do this. This hadith is in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayh. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, when a man completes his wudu, when a man completes, man or a woman, both are the same. When someone has completed his wudu, then they after recites, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Now is that difficult? Lift up your hands if you find that difficult, right? Is that difficult? How easy it is. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, illa futihat lahu abwabul jannati thamaniya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open all the gates of Jannah for that man, and Allah will tell him, enter from any gate of Jannah that you desire. Bhai, subhanallah to bole. Hamare peer sahab kehte the, haan, Gujarati log, naram log, khichri khane wale, khamosh. ہمارے پاکستانی امام بھی تقریر کرتا ہے, مقتدی بھی تقریر کرتے. The imam speaks and even the musalli speak. Bhai, do you understand my respected brothers? How beautiful is this? How easy this is? But shaitan makes us forget. How many times do we do wudu? How many times do we do wudu? Simple application, simple application. We don't forget to set our alarm. When we go out, leave the house, we don't forget to lock the car. We do everything of this dunya. Of this dunya, we remember everything. The only thing we forget is the 8 doors of Jannah that easily Allah's Nabi, Muslim Sharif, riwayat, is telling you, Allah will open the gates of Jannah for you and enter from any gate that you want. Just if a man makes it his habit until death, from today, I will never miss this wazifa. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. 4 seconds bas and Jannat is given to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allama Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani rahmatullah alayh. Allama Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani rahmatullah alayh has mentioned one story talking about how sins actually come out from the body. He said that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh in the Jamia Masjid of Kufa, in the Jamia Masjid of Kufa, was doing wudu. Hazrat was doing wudu. The karamat that was given to him was the karamat of kashf, spiritual insight, that he could see a lot of things. This is due to taqwa. And so Hazrat was doing wudu, sitting in the Jamia Masjid of Kufa at that time. And a young boy came thinking that Hazrat is here, let me sit next to him. And he started doing wudu. So Imam Sahib is doing wudu and this young boy is also doing wudu. Young boy, balig, not very young, young. And he is doing wudu. So Hazrat is doing wudu now. Hazrat looked at this young boy, looked at him. And the water dripping from his body, Hazrat would look at it very, very carefully. Hazrat smiled at him, and then stopped smiling at him. Ajeeb. These were such awliyaullah. Such awliyaullah. And how Allah would open up for them everything. And so when he finished wuzu, Hazrat said to him, Imam Saab, Imam Abu Hanifa, my son, come here, I want to say something. From the water of your wudu, from the water of your wudu. That is why you have what we call ma'i musta'mal. Ma'i, you have tahir mutahir, one that is pure water and that purifies other things. But according to the masla, if you have done wudu and that if that water is collected, that wudu, that water, despite the fact that it's water, it's not fit for another person to use for him to have wudu again. It's napak. It's tahir but not mutahir. So he said, my son, I have seen you do wudu and the water that is dripping from your body after washing your body parts. I want to say something to you. Go now and read two rakats of tawbah, repent to Allah, read two rakats nafal, and make a firm intention from now on that you will never disobey your parents. That you will never disobey your parents. That from the water that is coming out from your face, from your hands, the gargling, I can see that you are a young man, but someone who disobeys his parents. And this is a major sin, major sin. You disobey your parents, you've got nothing when you die. And therefore, go and do tawbah. Go and do tawbah. These were ajeeb people, incredible individuals. Allama Sha'rani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned so many stories, qissa. He said on another occasion, Hazrat had seen a man doing wudu and said to him, my young friend, stop listening to music. Stop listening to. And the famous story, of course, when this man came, Imam Sahib Abu Azam Abu Hanifa said to him that do tawbah and repent because you have a habit of fornication and committing adultery. Make dua that Allah save you from adultery. I can see things from your wudu. Until it became so difficult for Imam Abu Hanifa that, you know, somebody sitting on your right is close to you, left is close to you. Then something that is very personal that is being revealed, it was difficult for Imam Abu Hanifa. He made dua that, Ya Allah, take away this from me. It's becoming unbearable. And thereafter, this power was not given. This karamat was taken away from this great man. That is why Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, Subhanallah al-Azim. What a man. Such a great wali of Allah, great sahabi. A man came to him when he was the Khalifa and came dashing at him, running, and Imam Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala stopped him and said, don't run, and looked at his face and looked at his eyes. Just by looking at his eyes, he said to him, what is the matter with the people today that they come and stand in front of the Khalifa and I can see traces of zina in their eyes? I can see zina in their eyes. So this young man said, Hazrat, what you said is the truth. Just before coming to you, my gaze fell upon this very beautiful woman, and I should have looked down, but she was so beautiful that I started looking at her, and that is how I came to you. And Hazrat actually noticed by looking at his eyes and saying, you've got traces of zina in your eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. My respected brothers, inshallah, let us end the first session here. Inshallah, in the next session, and I think Isha Salah next week will be 7:30. Please do come. We will be covering some of the important masail of wudu and actually how to perform wudu, which again is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, ہمارے بولنے کو قبول فرما, سننے کو قبول فرما, اس مجلس کو قبول فرما. Ya Allah, سیریا میں, شام میں, جو مصائب ہے یا اللہ مسلمان پر، مجاہدین پر جو تکالیف ہیں، خصوصاً وہ مسلمان جو اہل السنہ والجماعت ہے، یا اللہ ان کی پوری پوری مدد فرما، یا اللہ ان کی پوری پوری مدد فرما، یا اللہ پوری پوری مدد فرما، غیب سے یا اللہ ان کی مدد فرما، یا اللہ شام میں جو تکالیف ہے، یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما، قرآن کی برکت سے، احادیث کی برکت سے، اولیاء اللہ کی برکت سے، صحابہ کرام اجمعین کی برکت سے، یا اللہ امت کے حال پر رحم فرما، امت کے حال پر رحم فرما. اللہم ارحم امت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سمعنا واطعنا غفرانک ربنا والیک المصیر برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.